A very good morning to a lot of you. I want to welcome again those of you here with us for the first time. We hope you'll find the Word of God, the singing of hymns, and our fellowship warmth amid this very cold weather. Now, King Charles addressed the nation with a Christmas message on the 25th. I don't know whether you heard the message or you read it, huh? And part of his message is this. I felt a deep sense of pride here in the UK when, in response to anger and lawlessness in several towns this summer. Now, he was referring to the killing of three young girls in Southport, I think on July the 29th or 19th, if I remember the date correctly. Okay. And then after that, there were some serious riots, and I think over 1,000 people were arrested. Eh? There were damages to properties. Communities came together not to repeat these behaviors, but to repair. And he said again, and he said further on, to repair not just buildings, but relationships. And most importantly, to repair trust by listening and through understanding, deciding how to act for the good of all. Now, I pick up a few things from what he said. He says that this is the time not only for the rebuilding of buildings, but of relationship and trust. We've been going through the book of Nehemiah, and the last message I spoke was on chapter 4. In that chapter, Nehemiah and the people of God faced the ridicule of the enemies. The intention is to stop them from rebuilding the wall. Okay. Without the wall, they have easy access into the city. They have some kind of control. But then, they are looking at Nehemiah and his people. They are building the wall bit by bit. Now, chapter 5 tells us more about the opposition to the reconstruction of the wall. We see how God encouraged his people. And Nehemiah and his people plow on, and they work hard. They trust that God will help them to finish the task that God has entrusted to them. They were not deterred by the ridicule of the people. Chapter 6 and verse 15 tells us that the wall was rebuilt in 52 days. Now, that was an amazing feat. Right? The wall about 4 kilometers, and very high, very thick, and they completed the rebuilding in 52 days. Now, chapter 8 tells us something else about the spirit of the people, and this is something that we can learn. Then come to chapter 7. Nehemiah ordered the people to open the gates of Jerusalem. But then he said, not before the sun is hot. Now, if I take my experience in Israel, the sun is hot when it is about 8, 9 o'clock. Okay. Remember I said that the rebuilding work was done sometime in the summer. And so, sun was hot at about 8 to 9 o'clock. Now, why? Why did Nehemiah say, don't open the gate until 8, 9 o'clock? Now, we may surmise this, that the reason is this, to prevent the sudden attack of the enemies. Okay. Now, a new day has just started. Okay. And they want to be certain that the enemies were not nearby or ready to cause any destruction. So Nehemiah says, open the gate only when the sun is hot. That is recorded in chapter 7, verse 3. Then in chapter 7, verse 4, we are told that the city is big and spacious, but few people lived in it, because the houses were not rebuilt. Now, we can understand that, huh? With the wall broken, few would want to live in the city. Okay. And God put into Nehemiah's heart to assemble the people and to lead them in the rebuilding of their homes. But then, who to live in the city? Right? We know that the wall is about 4 kilometers long. It's not a super big city. So, in chapter 7, verse 5, he gathered the people for registration. Nehemiah began with the genealogical record of those who have been the first to return with Zerubbabel. And the entire chapter 7, from verses 6 to 63, has another long list of names. Huh? Okay. And I've said, you know, do not leave out the reading of those names. Yeah, just how Jonathan did say, that some names are difficult to read, to pronounce, but it's worth reading, right? Because God has put His name or put these names in the book for a good reason. Okay, and then at the end of chapter 7, we are told that the registration ended and there was a record of 49,942 people who first returned with Zerubbabel. Now, so usually we say that the first returner, there were about 50,000 people. Okay, 50,000 is a round number. The exact number will be 49,942. Now, we are told in the remaining verses in chapter 7 that the people gave generously, not only finance, but materially, to rebuild the temple. And then verses 70 to 72 tells us that they gave a total of 375 pounds of gold and about 2.5 tons of silver. If we sum up what is happening up to this point in time, we say that the people were returning to the original state, in a sense, prior to being taken into captivity. If we want to put it in our perspective today, we say that the people were revived, renewed. They have rebuilt the wall. They have taken residence in Jerusalem. Now, the question is, what are they to do next? And this is the reason why I quoted what King Charles says, rebuilding the building, but then we also need to rebuild our relationship. There are a few things that the people did, okay, after the wall was rebuilt. They continued the ministry that God had for them. See, the wall is built, but the work is not all done. There's still work for God to do. And they must continue in the work of God. So, in a revival, we are revived, we are challenged, we are renewed. Now we should not end there, right? We must continue to progress. And the first thing in this chapter tells us that the people continue to serve God. Now verse 1 says that they were together as one man. In other words, they were united. And this is what God wants us to do. We must be serving Him in a unity. God wants our heart to be united. Now, this church is not big. But if we can be united in our hearts with this desire to do God's work, I think we can make a difference. Yes, we are weak in many senses. Not only physically weak, but in terms of numbers. But when our hearts are united, we desire to do something for God, and we really get to do it, I think we can see God blessing. Now in chapter 5, which we did not go through, tells us that some wealthy Israelites did some things that are considered very terrible. They lent money to their fellow Jews, exploit them with high interest. And then when the Jews could not repay them, they make their children slaves in order to pay the debts. Now this is terrible that such thing happened. Huh? You have your own fellow men exploiting you. But now things are different. God says they are of one heart. You know. Now in chapter 4, at least we know in the previous message that Nehemiah called these people to change. They have to forsake the sinful things that they are doing. Become loan sharks in our term. I don't know whether is it used here. Okay. Then you have people who work with the enemies to slow down the rebuilding of the wall and to bring in the very negative sentiments, and the people are discouraged. Okay. Nehemiah dealt with all this. So chapter 5, I say, similar situation. The people, the enemies continue to attack them. And Nehemiah continue to encourage the people. Now, I think there's a lesson here. Okay. Now, sometimes when we are challenged, we like to defend. Okay. Someone says, when someone tells you something and you do not agree with him, all right, you must win him. So you engage him in a debate. Now, I don't find very profitable engaging in a debate. Okay? If somebody is teaching heresy, I'll tell him what the Bible says. And I'll leave the Word of God to convict the person. Now, if there is some problems in the church, yeah, we may need to resolve it. But we should continue to do the work of God. No, churches today are slowed down by the many problems, issues in the church. And they take away our energy from serving God. Okay. Problems will continue to come. There will be more challenges. But let's not forget that we are called to build the church. So they not only serve God together. Now, you may ask, you know, the Bible says that they were together as one man. Okay, we see that there's this unity. Definitely they were united in their mind. Okay, in the desire to do what is right, but I think it will not be wrong to say that they have the desire to continue to do the work of God. The second thing is that in unity, they desire to hear God's word. Now, I emphasize the word unity because the Bible says in Hebrews that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we know that that verse tells us that we should come regularly in this manner, worshipping God. Okay? And the main part of worship is this, the preaching of God's word. God desires that we come together in unity to listen to His word. Verses 8 to 5 of chapter 8 tells us, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now, probably they had not had the reading of God's word publicly in this manner. And now when Ezra stood up to read the law, the people gave attention to the word of God. So you see, when we gather together, let's give our attention to the word of God. Worshipping God should be the desire of every child of God. And that's why we should desire to come to God's house to worship. So worshipping God is our responsibility. But then there is something else. Having been a Christian for many years, I realized that worship and the careful listening of God's word is the guide in my life. Times when you feel very discouraged, what do you turn to? I hope you turn to the word of God. And it is His word that will give us the encouragement. It will show us what to do next in our life. No? So when we are facing challenges in our life, the right thing to do is remain in God's house. Unfortunately, many say, so many problems, you know. Why ask me to come to church? But the real thing is this, that when you come to church, you are blessed. You get the strength for the challenges ahead. And we need that. Because in every new week, we faced new challenges. Let God Himself guide us. So the people listen attentively to the word of God. And we are told from daybreak till noon. Now daybreak in the culture of the Jews starts at 6 a.m. because that is the new day, till noon. So noon we know that is midday. And for 6 hours they were there in a public square listening to the word of God. Now, our worship service does not take that long. Okay. And we try to keep the message to about 40 minutes to 45 minutes. Give our best attention to the Word of God. Now, I know it is my responsibility as the preacher to do well in my preparation. So please pray for the pastors or whoever who is coming to deliver God's Word, that God will give them grace. Thirdly, in verses 6 to 8, we are told that the people worship. Now we will be talking about worship. But there is something here. In verse 6, Nehemiah records, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered Amen and Amen with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Okay, now remember that this is the Old Testament worship. Okay, but what is emphasized here is this: we need reverence in our worship. And this is important. Reverent in worship, because we are coming before a holy God. We know who we are worshipping. If we give attention or honor to somebody who holds a position in society, how much more should we give that reverence and attention and honor to the King of Kings? So the people worship God reverently, and it's depicted by them bowing down on the ground. Okay. Now today, we need not do that. In the New Testament, we see the people of God coming together in worship. But the attitude of reverence is there. It does not change. Because we are coming before the same God, whether in the Old Testament worship or in today's worship. And I hope we have that reverence in our heart. Fourthly, we see that the people listen to the word of God, and there are effects when we listen to God's word attentively. And one of it is the realization of sin. Okay. Now what is lost in today's Christianity is this: the sensitivity to sin. When we read the word of God, and the word of God says something about sin or something that we should not be doing in our life, we give very little attention. So there's that lack of sensitivity to sin. But when we listen to the word of God, we should let the word of God work in us. And the effect, or one of the effects, will be we realize our sin. Yeah. Now, some people do not want God's word to convict them of their sin. Yeah. They feel very uncomfortable when the Bible says, do not do that particular thing. They're just uncomfortable. Now we have to realize that sin hurts. Sin destroys. Sin robs you of the joy and the happiness you should have. If I neglect my family, I sin. My family suffers. Is that a big deal? Is that important? Of not being a responsible father or husband. But today people are not sensitive to this sin. And when we talk about sin, they have a very simple answer, and that is, so what? And I want to say this, that sin hurts. Sin destroys. Sin takes away all that you should be enjoying in your life. And so when God's word convict me of my sin, I repent. I get right with God. I get right with man. You know? And that restoration to God and to man brings in great joy. Have you experienced that? Two people quarrel, They get so heated up. And then somebody comes in and mediate. Okay, they are restored. Now what is the result of the restoration? Of course, friendship, joy, right? Yeah, and we need that. See, sin takes our relationship away from God. When we are restored to God, you know, there is fullness of joy. And I hope we know that. Okay? Yeah. And when we are really convinced of that, then we want to forsake our sin. So the people were sensitive to their sin. Verse 9 says that the scribes and the Levites taught the people and said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now why did they weep? Well, first of all, they heard the word of God. Right? And their hearts become soft towards the word of God. Or become very sensitive in a sense to the word of God. And I think the one of the effect is they realize that they have sin. And when they confess their sin, they are restored to God. Next, we see the people realize something else, and that is they have been very much influenced by the world. I have to go over to chapter 9. And chapter 9 verses 2 to 4 says this. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their father. And they stood upon their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua, and Bani, and Kadimiel, and Shibana, Bani, Sherebah, Bani, and Chinani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Now we see in verse 2 telling us that they separated themselves from all the strangers. Now the word strangers are not only men, people they do not know. Okay? In the biblical usage, most often it refers to people who are not of their of the same belief. So, in general, we say the world. Right? Because the world believes not in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they separated themselves from the people of the world. Now, I need to say this, okay? We are not told to practice isolation. There's no call in the scripture to isolate ourselves from the world. But then we are told to be separated from the world. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. James says, if any man choose to love the world, he becomes an enemy of God. Now what is the world that John and James are talking about? They are talking about a world that has no God in it. A world that will not follow God's law, His word. And a world that will choose not to worship God. Cannot we interpret the world as it is a world that is controlled by Satan, the unbelievers, his emissaries, together with all practices, pursuits, and purposes that are not in line with God's desire. I thought he defined it very well. Kenneth Priest is a Greek teacher.
So, the world is anti-God.
Now we have should have nothing to do with the world.
This world which the Bible is referring to. Okay.
So the Jews separated themselves from the people of the world.
I think more specifically, the Bible is talking about the lifestyle, you know, the habits, the sin that the people of the world were used to at that time.
Okay. So while we are living in this world, we do not have to follow the world.
So may God help us that we be very discerning,
so that we will not be caught and drawn into the sinful culture of this world.
May God keep us pure, true to Him. And I think this is the best way we can be a good witness for Him.
Next, we see that the people in unity chose to obey God's word. Going back to chapter 8 and verses 10 to 18.
The desire to obey God's word.
I hope as a church we have that desire.
Alright, God is first. We choose to obey Him. We want to do what is right. You see, God must be honored and glorified here. Not any self or self-seeking purposes.
Hope that our church will be a church that really follows the law of God.
So they obey the word of God joyfully, and that's what we should be doing.
Our memory verse, the last part, if you remember,
the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. And I hope this is the reality that we experience, having God's joy and becoming our strength.
And we really need that.
Some are going through a very hard time. Our church member, Dominic, who worship here, the mother is very ill. At one stage, she was fighting for her life, in that sense. Okay. Now what comforts the family? The joy of the Lord. The hope they have in Jesus Christ. Without that, they are just going through very trying times.
I've been here for about a month. Three elderly members of my church passed away. I know them very well. I mean, I've been ministering to them, you know. They're elderly, frail. They're taken home to glory. Now, how can I comfort the family? What can I tell them?
I can only give them the hope in Jesus Christ, right? And in this difficult time, I hope God's joy be with them. Because they know that they and their loved ones have this blessed hope.
Now we need that joy when you are discouraged. The Jews went through a time of discouragement, and now they find the joy of the Lord their strength.
So I hope each one of us experience it daily in our life. Right?
Don't wait for this experience when we are going through crisis.
Some of us say, my life is alright, you know, things are okay. Now, I will pray when things don't go well. Now, don't pray only when things don't go well. Okay? Don't go to church when things don't go well. Go to church every week.
Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. And again, I say rejoice.
And Paul said those words when he was imprisoned in Philippi. So it must be a daily experience, so that when real trying time comes, we can really rejoice in the Lord. And we know in the jail in Philippi, Paul and Silas were singing praises to God. Lastly, again I jump to chapter 9, and the whole entire chapter 9 tells us something, and that is their dedication, or someone would say a consecration. So we see their consecration to God. Let me go through a few verses in chapter 9. Verse 6 is a prayer, and the prayer begins like this. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the hosts of heaven worship thee. So in their consecration or their dedication, they are reminded of God's creating power. They remember him as God Elohim, the one who created the heaven and the earth. He also reminds them that God is a caring God. God bless them and provided them with all their needs. So today we are blessed. Don't forget to give thanks for God who has blessed us with all these good things. Now the whole entire chapter 9, please read through, tells us that they are reminded of God's grace in their life. And we can think of many things. Okay. His love for us in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His promise to keep us. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And God is faithful. He will always be with us. Now we have come to the end of the year. In another 2 days, the year comes to a close. What are your plans for the new year? I don't know whether you make resolution. I don't. I don't because I always fail to keep my resolution. I want to read the Bible through 2 times this year. Okay. But I'm only like 1.5 times through. So I don't know whether I'll make a resolution. I'll be able to keep it. But I hope day by day I'll resolve to do what is right. I will resolve to please God. So ask again, what is your plan for the new year? Is there a need for rebuilding? Relationship breaks down and you need that restoration? If you need the rebuilding of relationship, do it. Do not wait. I think we need, above all things, the rebuilding of our relationship with God. You know, every new year, we should know God better. Have we know God better this year? If the answer is yes, I hope next year you'll be blessed to know Him a little deeper. We want to be like Christ. Paul says that we gaze on the mirror and we look at it, and then we are transformed bit by bit. Now what he meant is this, that when we look at God's word, which is like a mirror, the word of God changed us and we become more and more like Christ. I hope this is your desire in this coming new year. I hope to see you next Sunday. That will be the beginning of the new year. But if I don't, I wish you a blessed new year. And above all, I wish that it will be a new year with new and fresh experience with our God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word in the book of Nehemiah. We have come to the chapter seeing how the people came together after the rebuilding of the wall to worship you and to serve you. Lord, we need to have the kind of spirit. Lord, keep our church united. Pray that the unity will provide us with the strength, Lord, to do even greater things for you. Father, as we step into the new year, we acknowledge that we need you to guide us. Lord, truly we do not know what is ahead of us, but we know that you are in control of tomorrow. And we want to bless you. So God, we continue to put our trust in you each step of our way. And you have taught us in your word to commit our ways unto you, and you will direct our path. We give you thanks. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.